Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Did you have a good life, a good, happy childhood growing up?
I really didn't consider myself happy or unhappy. I always knew that there was something out there that I needed to get to, and it wasn't where I was at that particular moment.
It wasn't in Minnesota?
No.
As I'm sure you've all seen, the new biopic about Bob Dylan, A Complete Unknown, is set to come out in theaters Christmas Day. That was a clip from Laura Oakes' A Closer Look that'll be released tomorrow. She's exploring Dylan's roots in Minnesota. She traveled to his hometown of Hibbing in Duluth, and we're excited about talking to her on this. Thank you so much, Laura.
Thanks for having me, yes.
Looks like a great movie, and Timothy Chalamet, holy cow.
Yes, I think he's been nominated for more than a few awards for this one, for sure.
And it looks like, from my understanding, he's all the music, including the guitar and harmonica.
He does it all.
Chalamet knocks it all out of the park.
And you know what else is really cool? In interviews that I've watched from Chalamet promoting this film, he talked about, and you know, he came here a couple of weeks ago. It was his idea to come here and start the whole press tour right here where it all began. And during the time when he was researching this film, he came here by himself, rented a truck in the middle of winter that he picked up at the airport, drove himself to Hibbing, skidded out a few times, got a taste for Minnesota winter on the roads, and just wanted to kind of feel that and really immerse himself in the world here, and loved it. He went to Duluth. He spent time in Hibbing, spent time in Dinkytown, of course, and the rest is history.
Understood where that voice from Bob Dylan comes from. It's that Minnesota quintessential cold voice.
No kidding.
Now, you've got the program's going to actually air tomorrow, correct?
Yep, it posts tomorrow. So it will be on our website and on our Facebook page. This is a longer form story that I did that mainly focuses on Dylan's time in Minnesota before he really left here and made it big, you know, off to Greenwich Village in New York, and here we go. A little bit beyond that, and how he has come back over the years, and what his interests and contributions have been here since he left. And then the audio piece that goes with it is long. It's 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. But I think it really tells the story and brings to life some of the places and some of the pivotal moments in his young life that really kind of shaped who he is, and the decisions that he made along his very famous, long, fruitful path.
And from your program, we actually have a clip about one of those pivotal moments, right? Can you set that up for me a little?
Yeah, we do. This one is, I interviewed the person who is in charge of restoring the historic Duluth Armory. And in 1959, Bob, who was very restless as a teenager up in Hibbing, wanted to be where it was at. So where it was at in that day as a young teen in Hibbing was Duluth. So as the musical acts would pass through Duluth and play at the Duluth Armory, he and his buddies would come down and either hitchhike or grab somebody's car and come see a show. In this particular show, this is Buddy Holly's appearance at the Duluth Armory on January 31st, 1959, 3 days before his plane crashed in that Iowa Iowa cornfield. And Buddy Holly was one of Bob Dylan's very first idols. He was a rock and roller first. He loved Little Richard. He loved Buddy Holly. So here he is at the Armory show, seeing Buddy Holly. He and his friend Louis Kemp forced their way up to the front stage. So they were pretty much pressed against the stage. He was just feet from his idol, maybe 6-8 feet away from Buddy Holly on the stage at the Duluth Armory. And he, in this cut, describes how he felt just such a connection, like they locked eyes, and it was this cosmic connection that really kind of set him on his path from there. Here it is.
This is the part that gets me, when he talks about, out of the blue, the most uncanny thing happened. He looked me right straight, dead in the eye, and he transmitted something I didn't know what, and it gave me the chills. So tell me about the significance of this very spot.
So this is where he was standing. And this is where the magic happened. And shortly after, he moved to Minneapolis and started really focusing on his music.
Yeah, so that was the spot. I got to see the spot. They have a little plaque on the floor right where he was standing. Wow. I got to stand on the stage where Buddy Holly was. It was surreal and really cool in there. And there, if those walls could talk, and I'm sure you could find some talking walls yourself, but it was amazing.
Yeah, I had a chance to actually investigate First Avenue.
Oh,
and,
cool.
I got to stand right in the spot where Prince brought out Purple Rain, the original song.
Yeah.
And to be there, and there is that vibe, so you can sense. I mean, for Bob Dylan to go see the man he idolized, to lock eyes with him, to share that moment, and that be the spark. That was really powerful.
That was it. And from then on, he moved down to the Twin Cities. He enrolled at the U, lived in the Jewish frat. He did not pledge the frat, but he lived in the frat house. Didn't go to school much, didn't do very well in class because he was out playing in the clubs all night long. And I think he lasted 4 semesters, not the greatest grades, but was really getting swept up in the folk music scene in Dinkytown, which was kind of considered like a little Greenwich Village. It was really hopping and coming to life, and this would have been 1958-59. So when he got to college, he sold his electric guitar. He sold his electric guitar, bought an acoustic, and then totally immersed himself in this Dinkytown folk scene until he ultimately moved to New York City to follow his idol, Woody Guthrie, who he got to meet.
Yeah, he didn't do too bad for himself.
No.
It's really amazing. And did you see the documentary about the We Are the World? The making of the video.
I've
and
seen
the song.
Clips of that. Yeah, yeah.
It's so surprising. Here you've got a guy that is an icon to so many around the world, right? Mm-hmm. And you've got all of these major musical celebrities, including Bruce Springsteen, who is excited. They used Bob Dylan to leverage and get a lot of the celebrities
sure.
to agree.
Yep.
And Bob Dylan was this timid little mouse during the filming and recording of that. As a matter of fact, at one point, everybody had to leave the room so that he could sing his segment because he was so internalized.
Yeah.
And Stevie Wonder, the documentary is great. Stevie Wonder had to show Bob Dylan how to sing like Bob Dylan.
Wow.
Because he was so unnerved by being in the presence of so many people that worshipped him. He didn't want to let anybody down.
You know what I found so fascinating about many of the people that I interviewed for this who have very good knowledge of him and his persona and his being. He's truly an introvert.
Oh, yeah.
He does not like being thrust into the spotlight. He was very uncomfortable winning the Nobel Prize for Literature and the Presidential Medal of Freedom and any other awards that put him front and center and, you know, on the spot. He hates that. But then you hear stories about, you know, there was a time in the 80s where he and his brother, David Zimmerman, actually owned the Orpheum Theater in downtown Minneapolis. It ended up being a boondoggle. They sold it 10 years later. But during those years in the 80s, he was experimenting with Christianity. You know, he was Jewish, experimented with Christianity, and the talent booker at the Orpheum at the time, Fred Krohn, who became the manager of the entire theater district, actually. He deliberately booked this Christian rock band at one point because he knew that that would get Bob to the show. And it did. And there's this moment that Fred described to me just yesterday of Bob Dylan in the box office at the Orpheum, kind of hiding in the box office. He was going to be meeting the artist, this Christian artist who had come to play, and was supposedly hiding, but he would peek his face out the door once in a while. And Fred told me that he thinks for this guy who claims he doesn't want anybody to know he's there, he just is trying to be secretive and everything, he wanted to be seen. And he was, and it turned out to be a big spectacle that, oh, Bob Dylan's here and blah, 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 blah. And he loved it. And then he came out, and it was one of his days where he was feeling chatty and talked to people and signed autographs and had a great night. But yeah, so you get this introverted side of him, and then this one that cannot resist the attention. And it's really interesting. He's such an interesting person.
It is. It's a weird dichotomy.
Yeah.
You know, I warn people when I go to live events.
Yeah.
I tell them, you know, I'm in an extrovert's job.
Mm-hmm.
I will talk in front of a crowd of 10,000 people. And if you walk up to me afterwards by yourself, I'm probably going to be real awkward. I'm an introvert in an extrovert position. So I can understand that. And that want and desire to be recognized for the work you do, but also, don't do it one-on-one. I'm not ready
for that.
It's
uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable.
Totally uncomfortable. I know. I'm kind of the same
How
way.
Relatable.
Yeah. Yes.
Very cool.
Yes.
And it seems we both, Bob Dylan and I, shared the same kind of college year of four semesters.
Yeah, okay.
And a lot more having fun than we were
studying.
But very cool. And now the movie, again, comes out for Christmas. That's A Complete Unknown, starring Timothée Chalamet.
Yep.
But tomorrow, your program is going to hit the website.
Yep.
And will air so people can find it there. Any other tips, hints on how to locate it, how to hear it, when it's going to be released?
Yeah, it'll be up first thing in the morning, I believe, WCCORadio.com. My little segment is called A Closer Look, where once a month I do kind of a bigger deep dive on a story. So this is this month's A Closer Look.
Excellent.
And right at the top of the story, it'll be the text of the story as well, everything I've written.
Mm-hmm.
But at the top, you can press the audio segment, which is 25 minutes long, of my entire exploration of his time in Minnesota, his path to stardom, the people behind the scenes, kind of the pivotal moments of what launched him, how he feels about Minnesota, what he's up to now. And I'm looking forward to it. This was a real labor of love, and I'm grateful that I got to do it.
Fantastic. Well, check this out before you go see the movie.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.